John Lovitz was a regular on Saturday Night Live from 1984 to 1990. He was best known for his characters Tommy Flanagan, the pathological liar, the pretentious actor known as Master Thespian, Annoying Man, and a caricature of gay writer and actor Harvey Fierstein. He since appeared in the films A League of Their Own, The Great White Hype, and High School High. In the Fox animated series The Critic, Lovitz was the voice of the pretentious but shallow film critic Jay Sherman. I spoke with John Lovitz in 1992 about his work on Saturday Night Live.
So let me ask you about Master Thespian, your most pretentious actor. What was the story behind the creation of that character?
I went to a college at UC Irvine, and there was a professor of mine, William Needles, who taught me Shakespeare. And when he would do it though himself, he'd always go, he'd say like the opening speech from Henry V, the chorus, and was, "Oh, for a muse of fire that would ascend the brightest heaven of invention." And he would say, like, "Oh, for a muse of fire that would ascend the brightest heaven of invention." Like that. And I thought it was very funny. I thought it was very good, but very funny, too. And I used to imitate him. And then I kind of put it together with, you know, and then I wanted to be an actor. And an actor is a, you know, that's what a thespian is. So I was like the master thespian. You know, I would just joke around with my friend and say, "I'm the master thespian." Because I just wanted to be a great actor. That was my goal.
One of my favorite sketches of the ones that you've done on Saturday Night Live was Harry Hanukkah.
Oh.
Did you write that?
No, Al Franken and Mike Myers wrote it.
Oh.
And, but I based it on, they wrote it and it was really funny. And then I based it on this actor, Ned Glass. Ned Glass talks like this. And he was the father on Bridget and Bernie. He was the Jewish father. He was in, he's probably the best West Side Story. He was Pops, I guess, who runs the drugstore, the candy store.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was 15 years old...
What's wrong with you kids?
Well, when I was... You know, if you see these movies, you know who he is. When I was 15 years old, I was at my best friend's house, and his father is a doctor, and Ned Glass was one of his patients. And I was 15, and my friend's father says to Ned Glass, "John wants to be an actor." And he says, "You want to be an actor?" He goes, "What would you do if you hurt your toe?" And I said, "I'd say, ouch." He goes, "Would you say ouch if you were Hercules?" And he goes, "You know what you have to do? Because you know what you have to know to be an actor? You have to know everything. You think you could know everything? You have to know everything." You know, so as if he knew everything. And then he goes, "You know, there was only..." He was the same in every thing he played. And he was, you know, he was a good actor and he was funny, but he was just himself. He was exactly the same. And he says, "You know, there was only two actors who were never typecast. Me and Paul Muni." And so, anyways, I never forgot him, he was good. He was a funny actor, you know, he's funny, but, you know, I guess he always thought he played all these different characters, and really he was just always, "Hello, how are you?" I mean, in Julius Caesar, in the movie with Marlon Brando, he's in the opening market scene, and everyone's going, "My lord, come here and hither." And he's in the market saying, "You want to buy some oranges, my lord?" You know.
were there any jokers in your family? Did you have a father who'd sit around the dinner table and tell jokes?
Yeah, he used to goof off, and he used to make prank phone calls, and... I mean, the look for Annoying Man I got from him. He used to comb his hair forward and wear his glasses low. He didn't act like that, but that's where I got the look from. And he used to do something. He used to come home and tell us he was his twin brother, Howard. We would be like 7 or 8. But he would play it so straight for like a half an hour and just insist on it. And then he would leave and then like 20 minutes later come back. I guess he would just wait in his car. And then we'd say, "Howard was here." He goes, "He was?" You know.
So he really had a twin brother, Howard?
Huh? No, he didn't.
Oh, he didn't?
No, he just said he did.
I see. Okay.
We were young. He would do stuff like that.
Is it difficult to convince casting directors that you can do parts outside of the types of characters you created on Saturday Night Live?
Yeah, it's difficult. One time, I had met Dustin Hoffman before, and he said, "You're in my next picture, you know." And I'd met him once. We had at the same agency, and then I met him about 8 months later. He goes, "Oh, I didn't know who you were when I met you, and I've seen you. You're very funny. You're in my next movie." And then I ran into him again about a year later, in the street, and I said, "Hey, how are you?" I go, "Good." I go, I go, well, you know, you said I was in your next movie, and then Rain Man came out, and they said, Tom Cruise, what happened to me? You know, so, so he laughed, and he goes, well, I meant then bringing you in on my next movie, which was Billy Bathgate, and he did bring me in. He was really nice, and he brought me in to meet Robert Benton, and he just said, well, I just think John, you know. Oh, well, what happened was there was a, on the table, there was the paper, you know, there was two copies of Billy Bathgate, the hardcover and the paperback. So I go in and I said, Robert Benton, so which movie are you doing, the hardcover or the paperback? You know, and they laughed. And then he said, well, this is a serious movie. And then Dustin Hoffman goes, yeah, now's not the time to be funny. And I went, oh. So anyway, we talked and you know, I was thrilled that he brought me in. And he's saying, well, you know, where can, I just think John's great and he does the characters. Where can we fit him in the movie? What do you think of this part of it? And Robert Benton said, oh, I know, he can do anything, I'm sure, but I just think the audience will start laughing once they see him on the screen. You know, I don't know. I don't really view it as my problem.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if people want to limit, you know, you're on Saturday Night Live and you play, you know, a million, you know, what, five different characters almost every week, you know, for 91 shows. And you know, and then people say, well, can you play this? And you're going, well, I guess I can do these 500, but this is, you know, no, this one style. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
Everyone on that show, not only just saying myself, but Jan Hooks, Dana Carvey, Phil Hartman, you know, they're all tremendously versatile and really can, you know, play any style and any, you know, can do it.
Well, John Lovitz, I want to thank you a lot for talking with us.
Thank you.
John Lovitz recorded in 1992. It's Comedy Week on our show, and we'll end this half hour with a record by Steve Martin, who we'll hear from later this week. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.